الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Brothers and sisters and friends, I greet you with the warmest Islamic greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So today's topic is an interesting topic. It's about standing up for the truth. And we're going to try to link the story of the people of the cave to this idea. Now, it is well known that we know that in this story that these youth had a special love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and significantly they had a connection to what we know as Tawheed, which is affirming the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they were living in a time where a king was basically trying to force them to do shirk, which is, as you know, the greatest sin and the greatest crime anyone could commit. And these youth, what did they do? They actually spoke to the king. They stood up to the king. And they advised the king. And they had this kind of patience and istiqama and steadfastness for the truth. And what happened, as you know in the story, is that the king gave them a few days because maybe they would change their mind. And if they didn't change their mind, what the king would do is basically stone them to death or kill them. And this is basically the crux of the story. Now what's very interesting is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. Allah says, and we strengthened their hearts when they stood to the king and they said, our God is the God of the heavens and the earth. Our Rabb, our Lord, is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. We will never worship any other gods, any other idols besides Him, Allah. Because if we do, indeed we have strayed very far from the truth. And what's very interesting is what the youth continued to say. They said, these, our people, have taken for worship gods other than Him. But why have they not given clear reasoning for worshipping these idols? Who are more cruel than those who have created lies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So when they said this to the king and they announced this, they gave a form of dawah. They were calling the king to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they knew that after those few days, those days that the king allowed them to have just in case they would change their mind, they knew that if they remained on Tawheed, they remained on the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would be killed. So they made a dua and they said to Allah, our Lord, bestow on us mercy from yourself and facilitate for us an affair in a right way. Facilitate the best consequences for us. And as you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a few ayat after, answered the dua, answered the call, and Allah said to go into this cave. Going into the cave was a manifestation of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I want to ask a question now. Now we've got the background knowledge concerning the story. Is our situation in the West, is our situation in the United States of America similar to the situation of the people of the cave? No, it's not. And I'll tell you why it's not. Because no one's being killed just because you go to a masjid. No one is being threatened concerning their lives just because you are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we have scenarios here and there. But generally speaking, we live in an environment where we have freedom of religion. You can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the greatest masajid I have seen in my travels have been the masajid in the United States of America. Some of the greatest Islamic institutions I have experienced all around the world are the ones that I have experienced in the United States of America. Some of the greatest Muslims I have seen, the ones who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have been the Muslims in the United States of America. So from this perspective, we don't really face the same type of calamity as the people of the cave. So I want to do a tadabbur here. I want to basically ponder on this story and gain some lessons. Because we know the status of the people of the cave. And we want to be like them. So my tadabbur, my pondering, my reflection on this story is as follows. If our situation is not the same, we're not really being threatened yet concerning our lives with regards to worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then if the people of the cave were alive today, if the people of the cave were alive today, what do you think they would do? Something to think about. Now, my reflection is as follows. If the people of the cave were alive today, they would continue to go to the king. They would continue to give dawah. They would continue to talk to people and to show them the light of Tawheed, the light of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we know, brothers and sisters, worship is a very comprehensive concept. It means to love Allah, to know Allah, to obey Allah, and to single out all acts of worship to Allah alone. This is the comprehensive concept of worship. And if the people of the cave were alive today, they would continue to make that call to the king and everybody else. So from this perspective, we should learn a few lessons. And the lessons are that we should do what the people of the cave were doing, which was calling leadership and their followers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the people of the cave had to go to the cave because we know in Islamic law, in the Sharia, that when your life is threatened, when it comes to your own existence, then you could basically retreat from the fitna. But we don't live in those times yet. We have an amazing opportunity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to convey this call, to call people to His oneness and to call them to the light of Tawheed. Now, there are some lessons that we recognize from the people of the cave. First and foremost, they recognized falsehood. They recognized what was false. Because if you ponder what we just talked about earlier, the people of the cave, the youth, they understood that what the king was upon was false, was actually shirk. It was not based on any truth. The second point is, they understood that shirk had baseless arguments. If you remember what the youth were saying, they were basically saying that, you know, there is no good reason for this. You have no authority concerning this. There is no good arguments concerning your deviance, your shirk. And if you mirror this, therefore they knew that the truth, the haq, had profound arguments. They also understood that the greatest evil was shirk. As they said, who is most cruel? Isn't the most cruel one the one who invents lies about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The other thing that we lesson from their dawah discourse is that they made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They linked their activism, if you like, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a good lesson for us actually, brothers and sisters, because sometimes when we become activists, we basically sometimes think about strategy and think